Didn't sleep very good last night, and I was feeling a little out of sorts yesterday, and actually this morning. Now, I went this morning out for breakfast. I went and got my hair done, my hair cut, and then stopped off at the store, and I went back, and Rudy and I are just going for a walk through the woods. Little place, little path we haven't been for a while. I was thinking about, what all the things that go on in my head that blocks and used to block. Hang on a second, I gotta smell these flowers. That's a neat smell. Anyway, all the things that sort of stand in the way of what we want or where we want to be. Confidence is one of those things. Because the more confidence we have, the freer we are. And what is confidence? Believing in ourselves. But you can have confidence and fear of what other people think, kind of at the same time. So you get two things conflicting. And even in creating something that we want or want to experience or have, money, physical object, you've got to gain a certain amount of confidence in it. And at the same time, if you have a high degree of what other people think, well, then there's all kinds of issues come in there because you get other people's opinion coming into play and affecting the way you experience everything. Actually, we're taught in childhood to concern ourselves with what other people will think, because that's how we're kind of trained and to behave as a group rather than think as an individual. Because to truly think as an individual means you have to separate from caring what other people think. In other words, not allowing that to affect you, your decision, how you do things or what you do. Or say in school even, kindergarten, workplace. It's constantly reinforced. That's why we have to dress in accordingly to where we go, where we work, our behavior. And if you step out of it, there's an immediate rejection begins, right? Or some sort of behavior modification. So then, in some things, you have to hide. You have to hide some of the things you actually believe in sometimes. Some of the things you choose to believe in. And play along depending on the situation you're in. To continue staying there. Because that causes even more conflict. And sends out two separate messages to the universe. And then everything you receive is kind of also muddled up. It's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Lots of people, when they read books on creating, come across that issue. That's what I came across. And I didn't know, what was causing the issues, but everything was coming kind of half muddled up and it didn't make sense. It wasn't coming pure as I wanted it. And that's because you spent 8 hours somewhere else, behaving accordingly, talking, physical movements, body movements, everything according to what's required of you to stay at this job or the group of people that you work with. Yeah, that's right. So, come to think of it now, so the the more time I spent, you know, searching out the universe and so forth, out of body travel and various other things, I had to separate myself from people more and more. As they ask questions, and then of course you get all kinds of other issues come up. Or you have to find people that also associate with that stuff and hang around with them. Now, if you're not working in that environment, it's sort of like you're Dr. Jekyll and Hyde, because after work you hang around certain people and you behave a certain way. During work, you behave a certain way. But while you're at work and behaving one way, you are actually then, I think, sending the signal out to the universe, that vibration, to match that. See, that was happening to me, because I would match that very vibration, creating more of it. Then after work, doing the other stuff. So, you get like a 50-50 mix. If not more like a 60-40 or 70-30, because you spend 8 hours at work. Yeah, and that's where confidence comes back into play. Because the more confidence you have, confidence is something actually that radiates out from a person. And when you have enough of it, you actually begin to change the environment around you. And if you have enough confidence, then you can be different and yet accept it. If you don't have the confidence and you're different, then you're not accepted. So what's this confidence? I mean, what is it really, and what causes it to radiate from you? I mean, let's face it, I think if we come across a person who has a lot, we notice it right away, we feel it. Something we can actually sense from them. And that's an energy that flows from them. Confidence is actually focus. Going backwards, it's really focus on something and believing in it. When you believe something, you are focused and tuned to that, like a radio station, a radio tuned to a radio station, a certain frequency, and it stays there no matter what. And the volume increases to whatever noise is around. So the more objective noise is around, the louder that radio station gets. That's really what confidence is inside of us. Believing in something. That something could be us. Anything. Something worth believing in. Whether it's true or not doesn't really matter. Because you can get a person who believes they are good looking, very attractive to the opposite sex. And they will literally exude that from themselves, and the evidence will befall itself. The thing is, confidence is believing without evidence. Without actually having to see the proof, it's just believing it. Because it's worth believing. When that's achieved, the evidence then begins to befold itself and come about anyway, because the universe creates the scenario for you. Same thing goes with money. Confidence in the ability to create money, have it flowing in large abundance, more than enough to buy anything that you want or want to experience, that's confidence. Again, that comes from a belief. believing it and expecting it. When you believe something, of course you expect it. When you expect it, the universe has no choice but to deliver it. I mean, that is the very foundation of the rule of the law, how all of this is functions. A while back I had a religious group stop at my house at the door, and they were talking to me, and I don't mind talking to them, even though I don't buy into that particular religious belief, but I can understand what it's all about for them. But they believe in it so much that it gives them enough confidence to go door to door, to have people yell at them, swear at them, spit at them, doesn't matter. They believe. And if it serves them right, then it's worth believing. The thing where I mostly have an issue then is when people say there can only be one. See, only one can be right. But if you think about, look at things as a God creating everything, and if he's really a good God, he would create a universe that no matter what direction you go, you always come full circle and end up back at the goodness where you come from. And no matter what a person does, you can never be rejected from the whole. I mean, that would be impossible. That's like my son. I would never reject him no matter what. That's just a basic principle of love and caring. It goes deep down. Now, if I have it, then the God, who is a billion times, a billion times, a billion times more what I am, would have that a billion times more. And so it takes away a lot of fear when I believe in it that particular way. Because I know that I will belong to the whole no matter what. No matter how I screw up, I still will belong to the whole. That's a belief. Right? So it all comes back to confidence, to beliefs, and walking with that confidence. But if we don't actually believe in something, how can we have confidence? And then if we don't have the confidence, how can we expect to radiate out love, to create what we want, to achieve things that seem further than our abilities? If your income stipulates you could live in a trailer park, and you dream of a big house, and you look at magazine pictures and you dream of yourself being there, you have to have, I believe, the confidence that you can receive this other place you're looking for, regardless of any evidence that's around. The evidence that's around you is irrelevant. You have to have confidence in just simply that, which means believing. Believing in something that's worthwhile believing in. And then believing in it so much that it becomes you. That it becomes part of your confidence. And again, then the universe simply hands it over. We get muddled up into the how of things all the time. How is it going to be possible? How? Show me proof first. we're afraid to believe in stuff because sometimes we're not sure if it's going to be real, if it's going to come true, so why believe in it? It's like we're going to get fooled. And all we've believed in things and they've turned out not so good. That's because sometimes we believe in a particular thing for a very short period of time, and then there's some evidence to the contrary, and then we let go of it totally instead of still continuing to believe in the ideal itself. Like, for instance, we may believe in that people are true and honest and are trustable. So you venture into a small business thing with someone, totally trusting them, not securing all the necessary legal paperwork because you're working on trust and belief. And then next thing you know, you realize they've stolen money or they've been conning you all along. Well, that belief hasn't really been in play for very long. That's really what that means. Because I've had that happen to me in the past. And then I realized, before that, I didn't really believe in it. It was something I wanted to believe in, wanted to experience, pushed myself into trying to get that experience, but not having actually believed it yet. So once I understood that, I knew I needed to believe first and to create a belief in myself of that. Never mind the evidence, and ignore all evidence, positive, negative, whatever. Just simply focus on a belief and focus on a building of the confidence. Since then, it took a while for me to figure out how to do it and how to get it going, because it's not even something you can explain. You just have to sort of do it inside mentally, reinforcing it, talking to yourself, telling yourself, yeah, telling myself that. I had to totally tell myself. I talked to myself like this, explaining to myself why we want to believe that. So then, the evidence came about. Now, I have some business deals that are based on trust, handshake, and they've come out perfectly. The evidence now that I have the belief and the confidence, the evidence is falling, coming from behind. It's just falling into place. But that confidence has to be there. Now, fear of what other people think, that came into play. Because when you do that, of course other people sometimes come along and go, well, that's crazy. I mean, you're just putting yourself at risk here. That's dumb. And perhaps it is. For them. See, it's different. But each time you hear that, of course, it's another voice telling you, right, that this isn't going to work, this isn't good, this is no. So, and we don't want to, as individuals, we don't really want to be badgered from people. So, sometimes, all in all, it's easier just to follow along with the way society runs things and do everything by the book. Funny thing is, the more you do it by the book, the more of a pat in the back you get. And at the same time, you get this little feeling least I have, that I'm also selling my soul a little bit. Because each time I lose a little more confidence in myself. Oh, look at that. We're in the middle of the forest and there's a yellow, bright, lemon yellow butterfly floating around in between the trees. Amazing. See, now that's beautiful. See, this butterfly has no clue what I'm yakking about and probably couldn't give a rat's ass. It sort of makes you wonder what they're doing. The other day, sitting in a boat watching a little movie, and there was two flies right in the center of the room, and they were dancing around in circles and chasing each other, and then they just fly around. They were totally in play. I mean, I've never seen flies play before. It was bizarre, and they stayed in the center of the room, going around circles, up, down, like two little airplanes. And then one would dive bomb the other one, and he'd get out of the way real quick, and he'd swing around and dive bomb the first one, and then they'd quit for a second, just kind of go around and up and down a little bit and glide, and then they'd go into full speed. You know, if you painted them like little Spitfire planes, it would look just like that, like a two planes chasing each other. It was the cutest thing. Where do flies who live such a short lifespan find time to spend all that time playing? Like, they must have played for the whole time the movie was on. 2 hours. So, think about that for a minute. You have two flies playing for 2 hours, and in their lifetime, that's like a human playing for 5 years straight, just playing around, having fun. Yeah, see, that's the thing again. I'm walking through the woods, hardly looked at a tree this whole time. Got these little bushes blooming all over the place. This year, something really amazing happened. Every flowering bush, every tree, every flower, anything that flowers, and everything that flowers, was so covered in flowers that the tree or the bush would be flowers. I have never, ever seen anything like it. More covered in flowers than in leaves. The trees were drooping, hanging down, bending over, busting off branches, so filled with flowers. It was incredible. I mean, you would see a tree and there would be, you know how you see a tree and it's covered in leaves, you cannot even see the branches. That thick with flowers. I'm in the woods here, and there's some flowering tall bushes. And again, they are just covered. And usually, these type of bushes, you know, they'll have maybe 30 flowers on it. That's kind of an average for one of those. And it's probably got 300. I mean, it's just, the whole thing is just one giant bloom. And so now you get this year all these smells in the air, and the air is thick with a fragrance, and we've had also a lot of rain the same time, so everything is bigger. The ferns are bigger, the bushes are bigger, I mean the flowers are growing. It's like, and it's everywhere where we went this year. It didn't matter if it was someone's backyard, a roadside, in the bush. It was just unanimous over the whole stretch of area. It's just amazing. it just blows me away, you know, it's just totally wild. See, that's the fun part. That's what we should be focusing on instead of all this yakking. But sometimes, because of where we are, we've got to work our way out of this little thing that we're into, you know? It's like that stuff with the two guys and the other dock there. Even though I didn't do anything, nor did I react and yell back at them, I still feel strange about it. You know, it's like, it still kind of affects me. And why is that? Because somewhere along the line, I still have a degree of caring what people think of me. So, you know, when I think about that, how much of what I write or would have written in my books was affected by that? By worrying about what people might think, how much did I censor and take out? Well, I know some that I've took out because of what people would think. Because in my head I'm going, ah, they're going to think I'm crazy, this and that. Of course, in the meantime, I've learned more, received more information back from people, because once you put a book out, especially if the book is very personal and tells a lot about yourself, then people tend to feel more safe to open up back. And then, of course, once you hear back, then you realize, well, what you censored wasn't that bad. There's people who actually would have been helped or felt better or had their confidence increased by knowing someone has a similar experience and has similar feelings. I mean, that's why we hide so much stuff. We have stuff that we're ashamed of, that we hide from other people, and the fact is they're exactly the same thing. We're not so different. We all have the fears. We all have those fears. We have confidence in various levels, fear in various levels. The point is, that fear, or the worry about what people will think, really has effect on what we do, has effect on what we say, has an effect on how we censor, you know, what we say, even what we read, what we do, the shows we will watch, the places we will go. I mean, see, there's something there. When I'm recording like this, I turn it off long ways before people actually show up. Why? Because I'm worried that you're going to see me talking into a little recorder. What a dumb thing, eh? But it's there, and it's there for a reason. Or not there for a reason, actually. It got there. It got there for some reason. Somehow it managed to get there. You know, who knows how. I mean, and then it sticks in there. And then a lot of times we don't even realize we have them. Years back, I had a lot of that. I mean, I couldn't do anything. I had so much of it. Around people, I was totally frozen in fear. Then came the sort of letting out, but a lot of it then came in the form of anger, actually. Because I was sort of so repressed that my first coming out and standing my ground was in angry ways. And that's kind of what I saw of those two guys the other day with the issue of, you know, of them yelling across the docks and stuff. They don't really have the confidence in themselves to just come like this and say their piece very calmly. Now, what causes that in them, of course, who knows, but that's the issue. See, once we understand that, we can also then be more forgiving of issues, but that's the thing, to go through all that, you know, you have to figure this out, you have to comprehend it, and then you can say, oh, that's why. So, that's where I find I have an issue, because I would prefer to just be able to be understanding without understanding. When someone's like that, I mean, obviously there's something wrong. So I don't need to sit there and figure out what it is. But, you know, for some reason I have the need to. But I would prefer, really, to just be able to let it go and be understanding of how any thoughts regarding it, because then I would be instantly freed from it and free to continue on my life in the track that I was going at. And it would virtually not interfere my life. So that's probably a learning process. And it's a process I've come to by experiencing it, then thinking about it. But it takes massive amounts of energy. I mean, I've got to sit there and think about all this and work it all out. And, you know, the more I think about that, why the hell did I spend 12 years in school? Couldn't I have learned things like this in school? And then taken an hour every day to learn a little math, and an hour the next day to learn a little writing. Because this stuff really is more important. I mean, the basic principle is I never learned to write in the first place. So 12 years of schooling, I got a little bit of math. Well, the amount of math I got, I could learn in a couple of weekends. It's a joke. So, if I had learned all those things, how much would that have improved my life? It'd be kind of neat to have a book, you know, that you can start life with. You get that, and you read that, and you make understandings from that. And, well, of course, then life would grow beyond that book again anyway, wouldn't it? Because life always grows, always expands. So it would just keep growing. So the book would then be not enough anyway, but yeah, I suppose. So this is the principle. We grow, we learn, but I think it does become easier all the time. But again, you see, that comes back to abundance, right? If I didn't have the abundance, I wouldn't be able to do this, because I'd be working now. And in my case, I'd be working at a job pretty intense where I wouldn't really have the time to think about this. So then at the end of the day, I would come home. And in my case, in years past, I'd come home, take the dog for a walk, get the laundry started, clean up the house, cook supper for my son, and then take the dog out for a walk again, and then sit down. By that time it would be 8, 9 o'clock, and I'd be exhausted. You know, watch an hour of TV just to relax a little bit, and I'm out. So where would the time be to do this and to grow? So I've grown more, faster, since my abundance has increased. Because I have time to grow. See, instead of spending 8 hours at work, I can literally spend an hour of that resting, 3 hours, 4 hours playing, and the rest of the time learning and growing. and in a sense learning, growing to increase my abundance even more. And so forth, having more free time. Yeah, so the abundance, it really comes back to that again, doesn't it? It also allows for more freedom, better food, better nutrition, more rest. When you're more rested and not overtired, it's easier to grow. You grow much faster, understand and learn much faster. So, yeah, you know, it's sort of like the abundance kind of becomes the foundation for that. And without the abundance, I couldn't have this little digital recorder, and this thing can do 18 hours of yakking. And, you know, it's not much bigger than, well, I don't know what size it is. Two thumbs? Size of two thumbs, right? No tapes to buy, no nothing. You can stick it in your pocket and away you go. Plug it into the computer and instantly the whole file is downloaded. Again, that's abundance. Even for writing my first book, I needed abundance because I can't write at all. I have no ability to spell, so I needed a computer and one that I could talk to that would actually write it out. So the abundance had to be created for that again. And then for someone to come along and correct it and so forth, and all the other expenses that went into. So far, that first book I put out probably in the range of $30,000 is what it's cost. You know, people... because I put it on the internet and gave it away free, but everything cost money. I mean, it just added up. The time spent on it, and so forth. People go, well, how much can it cost to write it and put it on the internet? Lots. Because while you're writing it, you're not making any money. And so forth. So, abundance. Which then comes back to confidence. Which then comes back to letting go, at least in that area, of what people think. Why you're building the confidence that begins sending out that energy to have the universe supply you with it. And actually, yeah, I had to, for myself, separate myself from people, get more and more time on my own in order to be able to actually do that. Because even now, as we look to create something beyond our financial means at this point, and Roberta mentioned that to someone the other day, and they said, well, you don't have the money for that. And from what we see right now, you don't have the means to get it. Roberta tried to explain it. That doesn't matter. See, they don't understand you can actually create out of thin air in this universe. Of course they don't understand. They've never seen it. So, you get this resistance. Of course at the end there was something like said that, well, I suppose it's possible with you guys. Anyone else said it, I'd say you were totally shooting up the creek, but because the person has seen us do things, there's a bit of a possibility. So the confidence is beginning to build. From the confidence coming from other people backwards. See, when found that when the confidence builds in ourselves, in myself, to a certain level, it radiates out. And at that point, the confidence is actually radiated back from other people. Because when you have enough confidence, then all of a sudden, there's a point there, and it's like over a little hump, and then people have confidence in you. So then you come and say, I'm going to do this, which is beyond your means, but you have the confidence, and if you have the right amount, they in turn have the confidence back in that you can achieve it. That's when you really know that things are clicking in place. So the last few days, as I was playing with the feeling of that 3.6 million, I was playing with the feeling of the confidence. Now, when you have money, a large amount, in itself creates some confidence. You know, it's sort of like if you walk through a store and you can't afford anything that's in there, there's a low self-esteem feeling that comes about you. You know, especially if people in there other people, let's say, that are in that store. I don't know, it could be a clothing store, very expensive clothes. You see other people there. They're dressed to the hilt and very nice clothes. They're made up. Very nice. Their hair is perfect. You know what I'm talking about. So, and if that, those means are way beyond you, couldn't even come out of there with a t-shirt, well then it kind of creates a bit of a down feeling. Worse on the other way around, when you have the money, and it's not an issue if you spend it or not, in other words, you truly have the confidence in it, then you walk into a place like that with confidence, and it's having the money actually creates a sense of confidence, because you believe in it, it's there. So, I was working on bringing that feeling up. See, there's a lot of feelings, emotions, and thoughts that go with having abundance. But they're not so easy to find if you don't have abundance or have never really experienced it. Once you've experienced it, even people that have experienced it and have lost their fortune usually rebuild another fortune fairly quickly. Some people actually do this quite often. They build it, lose it, build it, lose it. They have a certain amount of confidence, but something goes wrong once they have it. Who knows what, could be anything. Maybe they have deep inner guilt feelings about financial wealth, and once they actually have it, then that feeling kicks in, and then they lose their wealth, right? But, and they know what wealth feels like, so once they've lost it, they go back into that feeling, and of course, once they radiate with that, the universe will just bring it back to them very quickly. They'll just, you know, pick something up and it'll click and off they go. I've seen people like that. In a particular example of one guy, he had a construction company, fairly large construction company. He didn't even own a screwdriver. Matter of fact, the guy didn't even know how to work a screwdriver. But hey, he had like some 40 employees. Went bankrupt, lost it all. But that didn't stop him either. A few months later, new company, off he's going. Because he has the confidence for it. Again, even just to do something like that, you have to build the confidence. We've been taught to do it the wrong way around, I think, because, at least for myself, I was trying to do it and then get the confidence for it. I thought, well, you know, once I have this, then I'll have the confidence for it. But it doesn't work that way. First, you gotta get the confidence for it. Then you can have it. So first, you have to believe it. That's why my very favorite saying, at least right at this time, is some things are just worth believing in. And there's two versions of that. Some things are just worth believing in, whether they're true or not. It doesn't matter. If I shorten it, I'd just say some things are just worth believing in. Oh, there's another deer. Oh, we've seen a lot of wildlife today. Raccoons, several deer, several times. There's another one on the pathway. We walked right past one while I was talking. 6 feet away, even Rudy didn't even notice him. It's funny. He was just standing there. As soon as I got right beside him, while I was still walking, that's when I noticed him. And as soon as I noticed him, I didn't really turn. I just kind of noticed him in my sight, because he was really in my sight the whole time. But as soon as he noticed that I noticed him, that's when he got a little spooked. Actually, a wildlife person told me that once. He says, if you want to get near wildlife, just pretend you don't see them. Don't even look at them. Just keep going. Just keep doing. Don't change your physical behavior at all. In other words, your body language. Just keep walking exactly the way you're doing it. And that will tell them that you are unaware of them. And if they see that you're unaware of them, then they will not move. Because they know once they move, start running, jumping, moving through the bush, then you're going to notice they're there. So if you just keep on walking along, they'll just stay right where they are. That's kind of nifty, eh? So, we've come full circle again. Confidence. Believing in something. So, thinking more about that, I decided to kind of make a mental list, or enlarge the list of what I think is worth believing in, and just begin practicing believing without seeing evidence. Just believing because it serves my purpose and it makes me feel good to even just believe it. I mean, there's tons of things we can believe that we may not even ever see the evidence for, who knows. But we have said the universe will create whatever we focus on. But somebody says, well, I've been focused on money, yeah, but you don't believe, so you're not really focusing on it. If the belief in confidence isn't there, you're not really actually focusing on it. It's sort of like you're saying you're driving, you're running an engine, but there's no gas. That confidence is sort of the gas. I mean, I don't know exactly. I just know it affects the actual focus. We think that we pick up a leaf. We think that we see it in front of us. Hold in their hand, and we think that's focusing. So, we write a number on a piece of paper, we look at it, 3.6 million, and we say, well, that's focusing. How come the universe hasn't delivered it yet? I love money. Well, that's not true focusing. There's actually inner focusing. At least that's what I think it is. So, that's what I'm going to call it. And that focusing really comes from believing, from confidence. That seems to be like a magnifying glass. We focus on something, but then when the confidence is there, the magnifying glass kicks in, the light, the belief turns on the light, and bingo, there it is. And sort of the vibration is then excluded from that, and then it has to appear in our lives. But just looking at it doesn't do the trick. Sending love does, but here's the issue. For most part, how do you know when you're really flowing that love? I mean, how do you really know for sure? So you write a number on a piece of paper, $3.6 million. You use your imagination and your thoughts to open your heart, and you're radiating love out to that, to it, to the idea, to the thing. And you're going, okay, so now it's going to come. Maybe. Maybe you're flowing the love, and maybe you're not. Maybe you think you're flowing it, and maybe you're not. If you were doing it for a while, and in 6 months nothing shows up and nothing changes in your financial status, then there's not really that flow there. That was something that people were constantly asking me. How do you know? And I said, well, it makes you feel good. You feel good. You see, and that's one of the ways to know. But sometimes that's not really the way to know, because feeling good is a very elusive thing. You know, and you can open up that heart area and not really change your feelings necessarily any. Or, you know, you might be in a situation where you're a little overtired, you're tired, your body's tired, the nutrition is down, you haven't been well. So your feelings don't necessarily change. Or they may change, but you can't really feel it. It's sort of like having your arm numb and you're getting a shot, and you can say, well, you know you're getting a shot when you feel it. Yeah, I don't feel anything in my arm, but you can still be getting a shot. So it's kind of difficult sometimes to say for sure. And especially if it's new. I mean, it's opening the heart center and radiating out that energy, love, whatever you want to call it. It's kind of new. We haven't really been practicing it for a lot of years. It's not something like you brush your teeth every day. So it takes practice, and there's kind of a feeling that goes with it. And even for myself, because I, you know, I know the feeling. I've played around with it enough time and over enough period, long enough period of time. I know the feeling associated with it, but sometimes I don't necessarily feel it. So that's where I've come up with all the other stuff that's actually involved with it. Confidence. Because they're part of the feeling issue, isn't it? I mean, confidence is something you feel. See, we keep coming back to the feeling thing. Because really it comes down to it. We don't have little lights stuck in the palm of our hands telling us this is on, this is on. Oh yes, sending love is engaged. Radiating abundance to receive abundance is engaged, yes. And so forth. Yeah, we don't have that. The only thing we have is feelings, emotions. They're actually our guidance system. They're even our guidance system for what some people call our higher selves or inner guidance. But, you know, again, sometimes we don't even trust those feelings. Right? Because we have feelings and it doesn't really work out. And we say, well, we felt so good about that person and then this happened. So how can I trust my feelings to guide me? Well, there's several layers of feelings, I guess. There's upper surface feelings. And there's those inner ones, and it's not an easy task to sort all that out. So we have to find some and begin there. In other words, so we find feelings that we can sense easily. Lack of fear or fear. Confidence. That's an easy one to measure, right? Confidence. So, again, when we're focusing on something, the higher level of our confidence, the more we actually are sending that love and energy out, radiating the vibration and receiving it. Appreciation, again, same thing. Higher level of appreciation, the more the flow. Then you get, for instance, you know, fear of what other people think. Well, if there's a high degree there, then there's like a blockage. So you've got 3-4 lights on and one blockage light. So, yeah, it will still come even though you have that one blockage light, I found, but it slows things down. So if the lights that I just mentioned, the more all of them are on to the brighter degree, the faster the things create. But if one of them's on, three of them's off, two of them on, two of them off, that slows things down. Makes all the difference in the world. When you look at that, you go, holy cow, that's a lot of work. Well, it is at the beginning, like most things are at the beginning. Skiing. Nobody puts on a pair of skis the first time and shoots down that hill. What do we do? Oh no, we spend most of the time plowing the hill with our faces. Huh? Swimming. The first time you ever went swimming. I don't think so. Probably drank most of the water. Probably drank more water than you swam in. So everything we do in life does take a little bit of effort and a little bit of practice. Riding a bike, for instance. Nobody gets on a bike and just rolls off on a marathon. There we go. Look at him go. First day on the bike. Whew, won the marathon. Probably what he won, again, is sweeping the dust off the street with his face. So, again, with creating, with sending love, with appreciating, all those things, they take some time. So, there is more than one thing involved. And for myself, I mean, I'm learning all the time. I wish, you know, I could know it all and then write the book and say, well, there is the whole package right there. Nothing more you need to know. And that doesn't really work that way. Wish it did, but so far it hasn't. Even riding a bike. There's many, many things that you have to do to ride a bike. You have to gain the balance. You have to be able to look sideways, sometimes backwards, and drive forwards, look sideways, and still be able to drive straight. Most people, most kids, when they, you know, for most people when they first, or kids even, when they first learn to ride a bike, what happens? They begin to get their balance together, then they can drive straight, then they have to learn how to make corners. Then once they've got that, they have to be able to look sideways and still be able to go straight, because most of the time when they look sideways, they start going sideways. So it's all little stages. You start one stage, then you move to the next stage, you move to the next stage. Once you can ride, and you can ride straight and make corners, you have to learn how to stop. Stop at the right distance. Knowing when to apply the brake to stop at that particular point, well, then you want to take it further and you want to really get really cheesy with it, and you take it out and you start doing jumps. That's the same way it comes with creating. Once you kind of get the hang for it, you want to have to do some real stunts with it, and you want to play around, and that's where you need more confidence. Again, same as riding a bike. Once you got the hang of riding it, you need more confidence yet to go over those jumps. Without the confidence, you won't actually ride that bike over the jump. You won't even get there because you just won't do it. So again, that's an example where we need the confidence. Confidence comes from believing. Believing you can do it, even though there's no evidence saying you can. You've never done it before. Nothing saying you'll ever do it. But we first believe, even riding, learning to ride a bike, we first believe, yeah, we can learn this. Skiing, yes, we can learn this. That's what we believe. We've chosen to believe something. Now, there's more to that belief, isn't there? Because when we go take those swimming lessons, we have something inside that belief of, yes, we can learn, we have something called we are a slow learner, or we are a really fast learner, and we're going to learn this really fast. Which one of those did we choose to believe? Inside the belief, inside the confidence, there's another layer of confidence that says how confident we are about being confident. Crap. It just doesn't quit, does it? I'm sorry. It just gets worse. Okay, look. So, we believe in our learning ability. So, we believe that we can learn something very quickly. And so it unfolds that way. We learn, we say we are slow learner, and it will unfold that way. It is again a belief, and again a level of confidence in the belief. You see, if we believe, for instance, we are a slow learner, but we don't have confidence in the fact that we are a slow learner, then the belief is there, but is not really taking effect. When we have a belief, when we have confidence in it, that's when it's in gear. So you can have a belief and not have it active. But when the confidence kicks in, it becomes active. The higher the confidence level for that belief, the higher the activity of it. Same goes for sending love. The thing is, before people can actually open the ability up, they've got to have confidence in the ability that people have. So you have to explain to them that it's there, and it's, you can do this, and blah, blah, blah. And build their confidence in it, so that they have a belief and a very high level of confidence in it. Now you can't do anything about, you know, how fast of a learner they are. That's again their own issue. But what you can do is tell people how many people have instantly seen results. And there are many. So that in itself then builds a level of confidence. But for each individual it's separate again. I'm tired of talking now. I think I need a nap. This is giving me a headache. God, I can't stand thinking like this. Why do I have to do that? You know what? In my next life, I'm going to be born filthy rich with enormous ability for joy. That's it. I'm just going to have fun. I'm just going to have a good time. I'm just going to party. That's it. I'm not going to think no more. I want to be blonde and dumb.